好，感谢主。
Praise the Lord.
今天讲到的题目是现今的机会。
The sermon title today is Opportunities Today.
我们开始讲到以前有一个祷告，把时间交给神。
Before the preaching, let's pray.
天父，我们感谢赞美你。
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you.
因为你赐给我们一个又一个现今的机会。
You give us the opportunity, the present opportunity just again and again.
让我们有一个去完成遵行大使命的机会。
So that we have the opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission.
求主带领和帮助。
Lord, please guide us and help us.
也愿意神你在我们当中掌王权居首位。
May you have your sovereignty in us.
主，我们感谢你。
We thank you, Lord.
求主继续的带领我们今天的时间。
Lord, please guide our time today.
好让我们能够尊主为大。
So that we can honor you.
谢谢恩主听祷告奉耶稣基督得胜的名求。
Thank you, Lord. Listen to our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
好，今天讲到的题目是现今的机会啊。
The sermon title today is Opportunities Today.
每当我们听见现今的机会这几个字的时候呢
？So whenever we hear the words present opportunity,
我想很多弟兄姐妹很快就会想起以斯帖记，对吧
？So maybe brother sister will think of Esther, the book of Esther.
以斯帖记所记的那个故事，大家还记得吧？普尔节就由此而来的。
So do you still remember about the story about Esther?
从此呢，凡是类似与救恩有关的机会呢，我们可能都称之为是现今的机会了。
From now on, whenever there are similar opportunities related to salvation, we may call them present opportunities.
那么保罗的机会又是什么呢
？So what is Paul's opportunity?
保罗也将自己生命每一次能够传福音的机会。都认定是上帝赐给他的现今的机会。
So Paul just treated every opportunity he has that is a present opportunity.
无论是向外邦人还是向犹太人。
Whether to Gentiles or Jews.
无论得失不得失，总要救些人呐。
In season or out of season, just to save some people.
好，我们先来看第一点。
Let's look at the first point.
献祭的契机。
Opportunity for sacrifice.
保罗带着四位希腊背景的基督徒呢？
Paul just took the four Christians and of the Greek background.
也是根据雅各的建议了。
It is based on the suggestion from James.
他们就来到耶路撒冷的圣殿来行了洁净的礼。
They went to Jerusalem temple to perform a cleansing ceremony.
他们可能当时没觉得什么。
Maybe during the time they don't just feel much.
想不到这件事对新约教会来讲却是意义重大呀。
However, it's a great significance for the New Testament.
首先呢是礼礼相通为福音。
First of all, the both etiquettes are for the gospel.
这个礼礼指的是两个礼了。
That means two etiquettes.
一个是旧约圣经的洁净礼，一个是我们的敬礼。
So one is the cleansing ceremony in the Old Testament, and the other one that is a baptism.
坦率讲，这个道理是不容易讲清楚的。
To be honestly, it's not easy to just explain clearly.
而通常在教会的讲坛中、主日学、查经、门训当中讲这个道理，通常都讲不清楚。
So usually, in the preaching or Sunday school or the discipleship of people, it's not easy to explain very clear.
要讲清楚这个道理，如果要完全说明白，可能至少需要有3万到5万字的一篇论文吧，才能大致说得清楚。
You may just take a 30,000 to 50,000characters to in writing to explain.
所以这么短短的讲道的时间，我们只能求神的怜悯、圣灵的大能，帮助我们能够明白这其中的道理吧。
So in this short sermon time, we just pray that the power of the Holy Spirit and that just can guide us.
因为我们的敬礼在本源上其实就源于犹太的这个洁净礼的礼仪当中演化而来的。
Because our baptism is essentially inherited and evolved from the Jewish rituals.
当然，犹太律法的洁净礼它也是源于十诫，源于律法嘛。
The purification rituals of a Jewish law originate from the Ten Commandments.
以及由此而产生的诸多的犹太律法的礼仪呀。
And the rituals that gave rise to the Jewish law.
其实犹太人的这个洁净礼其实比我们的敬礼要来得更加复杂一些啊。
Actually, the Jews, the cleansing ceremony is kind of more complicated than the Christians' baptism.
他在行洁净礼的时候，这个人呢，要一丝不挂，全裸的脱的，浸泡在水里边的。
For the Jews, for their cleansing ceremony, and the people just have to be naked and to just immerse in the water.
洁净礼结束以后，还要让祭司检查全身，看看是不是洁净了。
And after the ceremony, and the priest has to examine whether his the whole body is clean.
当然，施行洁净礼之前，祭司也会检查了。
Of course, before they have this ceremony, and the priest also need to examine.
你得了大麻风病，不允许进那个池子里边的。
So if you just have this kind of illness, and they will not allow you to just go into this the baptistry.
Yeah, 如果说身体上方方面面有任何不洁净的地方，也是不允许的。
So if the body has anything that's not cleaned, and it is also not allowed.
坦率讲，单单从礼仪的角度来讲，比我们的敬礼要求严格的多呀。
So it is just more strict in this those kind of rituals.
而且它的目的是为了让人能够遵行诫命啊。
The purpose is for people to keep the laws.
要保持自身符合礼仪上的洁净，那才行。
And also just for the sake of obeying the commandments.
那么，施浸约翰在旷野里所做的事情呢？
What John the Baptist did in the wilderness.
其实与犹太洁净礼并没有本质上的区别。
It was not essentially different from the Jewish purification rites.
要当然，约翰的这个旷野的洁净礼呢，跟那个死海古卷昆兰这个教派的有一些接近，他们不在权力的中心，在权力的边缘。
So for John Baptist, the rites that he did, it's just pretty similar, just like over the Dead Sea, and they're doing that.
那么我们看见教会是渐渐的往前发展的时候呢？
When we see the church that developed, just move forward.
其实分开两个礼仪。渐渐演变的中心了。
And it is a two just rites and just kind of separate.
耶路撒冷教会有它跟圣殿文化的相连的关系。
Jerusalem's church has some just related to the temple culture.
而保罗在宣教工厂又有另外一个体系。
And Paul at the mission field has another system.
你看的保罗在腓立比遇见吕底亚等等，对吧？
Just like Paul met the Lydia and the Philippians and others.
长话短说吧，渐渐就演变成今天新约教会所采用的敬礼了。
So make the long story short, now they just adopted the baptism, but in the New Testament church.
教会在本质上越来越多的与耶稣基督相连。
So it was increasingly connected to Jesus Christ in nature.
而且在时间、空间。诸多的方面与犹太洁净礼呢也有本质上的区别。
Also, in the time space, it's distinguished from the Jewish purification rites.
但是从洁净的角度来看呢
？However, from a holy perspective,
两者就是无论是旧约的洁净礼还是新约的敬礼，两者其实都是通往福音，使人得救，这个目的性没有区别的。
So actually, both the Old Testament the purification ceremony and the baptism of the New Testament church, the purpose is both to lead to the gospel and save people.
别忘了我们所信的是同一位神哦。
Don't forget, we believe in the same God.
当然，这个问题容易使人困惑、误会，对吧
？However, this issue is easy to make people just get confused.
那鼓励弟兄姐妹在主日学的时候可以多提问，我可以讲多一些。
I encourage brother, sister, you can just ask that in the Sunday school, I can explain more.
好，其次是彼此相爱胜环境。
Second, love one another trumps circumstances.
在十多年前吧，对于保罗来说。
More than 10 years ago,
彼得在耶路撒冷大会上的分享
，Peter sharing at a Jerusalem council，
保罗、希拉等等可能都有些分享吧。
Maybe Paul and Silas they also had some sharing，
使得雅各以及教会的长老们也一同顺服了保罗的提议。
It is like James and the church elders they just obey about Paul's suggestion。
教会就一致决定不将律法的轭加在外邦弟兄的身上。
So the church decided just not to impose the yoke of the law on their Gentile brothers.
那么今天当保罗带着外邦弟兄来到耶路撒冷的时候呢？
So when Paul just brought the Gentile brothers to the church in Jerusalem,
这些信了耶稣还没有接受敬礼。
So those the ones that believe in Jesus but have not baptized yet.
既然耶路撒冷教会的弟兄姐妹的敬礼仍然还是采用犹太律法的洁净礼，那为什么不由此就进行呢？
So the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, they still just do this the cleansing ceremony. So why not they just let them just receive this ceremony?
所以这个时候保罗又顺服了雅各。
So in this case, and so Paul, he just obeys James.
当然不是雅各一个人，是雅各门整个一个长老整个教会。
So it's not only James, also the elders, the whole church.
所以这四位弟兄就领受了犹太律法形式下的洁净礼，本质上是对着耶稣基督了。
Therefore, the four brothers received the cleansing ceremony of the Jewish law, but of course, it just aimed at Jesus Christ.
当耶稣基督在十字架上断气的那一刻呢？
When Jesus Christ died on the cross,
圣经说，突然殿里的幔子从上到下裂为两半。
The Bible says, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two.
而且地也震动，磐石也崩裂啊。
And also from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split.
说明以色列人与外邦人之间的障碍被拆除了。
It shows that the barriers between the Israelites and the Gentiles have been removed.
从此，不但是圣经中所说的以色列人有一天会全家得救。
For now, not only will the Israelites and their entire family be saved.
而且，得救的那些犹太人他与外邦信徒也可以两下合而为一了。
But they will also be able to become one with the Gentile believers.
最后是两祭本身藏奥秘啊。
Finally, the two sacrifices themselves contain secrets.
圣经怎么说呢？
How did the Bible say?
于是保罗带着那四个人第二天与他们一同行了洁净的礼，进了殿，报名洁净的日期满足，只等祭司为他们个人献祭。
Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them, and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled and the offering presented for each one of them.
这节经文很简单。
This verse is pretty simple.
但是其实这个过程很复杂的。
But the process is pretty complicated.
他们去到那里要让祭司检查身体是不是洁净啊。
So they went in there and just need to let the priest to examine their body.
那祭司也会查问你最近生命的光景怎么样啊。
The priest will also ask about their spiritual life. How was that?
你的灵命如何呀？
And how's your spiritual life?
祭司是完全不完全懂新约的福音，但是他懂旧约的洁净礼的这个礼仪吧。
The priest doesn't really understand about the whole thing about the New Testament, but they're very familiar with this the Old Testament rites.
它是一套完整的旧约洁净礼的礼仪，在接受这个礼仪。
It's a completed this kind of the ceremony.
而当时在耶路撒冷的新约信徒正是采用了这种礼仪。
During that time, the New Testament believer in Jerusalem, they just used this kind of ceremony.
这个大家也不要引以为奇怪啊。
Don't think it is very strange.
我们所面对的就是对准耶稣基督。
What we're facing, we're just facing toward Jesus Christ.
可以在旷野接受施洗约翰的洗礼。
They can receive the baptism from John the Baptist in the wilderness.
也可以让彼得一日三千人都信了主，接受不同的敬礼的方式。
Also, for the people, just like three thousand people just receive Jesus Christ, they can just receive the baptism.
圣经也没有否认过，当时在耶路撒冷的信徒必须要拒绝犹太的洁净礼的方式啊。
Also, the Bible did not say that believers they need to deny about this New Testament the ceremony.
如果我们的目标是对准耶稣基督的话
，If our purpose just focusing on Jesus Christ,
教会是有一个接受旧约洁净礼的这种空间的。
So church does have the room to accept those ceremony from the Old Testament.
我们如果从利未记十二章六到八节这个角度来观察的话呢
？So observing just from Leviticus chapter 12, verse 6 to 8,
这里洁净礼之后所献的祭应该是燔祭或者是赎罪祭了。
The sacrifice offered after the purification ceremony here should be a burnt offering or a sin offering.
这种礼仪是皈依犹太教的一个基本的一个礼仪了。
This was a basic ritual for the converts to Judaism.
直到今天仍然必须遵行的。
And must still be followed today.
当然我这不是让每个基督徒要不赶紧跑到 犹太人那里跑到耶路撒冷去接受他的洁净礼才行绝无此意啊。
I don't mean that you just have to go to the Jerusalem to receive the purification ceremony. I don't mean that.
这是一个新约教会的成长过程大家要了解这个历史。
We need to understand about the history. That is the process for the New Testament church to grow.
从施浸约翰到使徒行传的保罗呢
？From John the Baptist to Paul and Acts.
其实新约教会的敬礼也渐渐的成熟了。
Baptism in the New Testament church has gradually matured.
其成熟度就表现在敬礼之前必须要讲见证啊。
Its maturity.Is reflected in the fact that one must speak testimony before and after baptism.
也犹如罗马书所说的，要向神献上活祭呀。
So it's just like that in Book of Romans talking about we need to offer as a living sacrifice.
本质上也同样是认罪悔改。
In essence, it is also about confessing and repenting.
告别过往的罪孽与牵绊。
Saying goodbye to past sins and ties.
奔向永生之路。
And it's running toward the road to eternal life.
今天讲到这第一大点，其实蛮不容易说明白的。
So today's sermon, the first main point is not easy to just explain very clearly.
如果大家在主日学的时候愿意多提问，问到这一点，我会多讲一些的。
So during Sunday school time, you can just ask and then I can explain more.
好，我们看第二点。
Let's look at the second point.
耸动的由来。
The origin of stirring up.
保罗一行。回来耶路撒冷正值逾越节。
When Paul and his party returned to Jerusalem, it was Passover.
不但是洁净礼的一个好时候。
Not only is it a good time for the purification ceremonies.
也是各地犹太人回来过节的一个常态啊。
But it is also a normal time for Jews come all over the country.
我们知道突发事件往往是在意想不到的情况下发生的，同意吗？
Emergencies often occur under unexpected circumstances. Do you agree?
首先从远方来的犹太人。
First, the Jews who came from afar.
雅各也好，保罗也罢。
So whether James or Paul.
可能谁都没有想到保罗的麻烦并不是出于耶路撒冷的犹太信徒。
So they might have thought that the Paul's trouble did not just come from the Jewish believers in Jerusalem,
而是从亚细亚回来的犹太人。
But from the Jews who had returned from Asia.
查一查这个上下文的背景呢
？If we just look at the context,
应该是使徒行传十九章所说的银匠迪米丢所煽动的亚细亚风波了。
It should be the turmoil in Asia instigated by the silversmith Demetrius that I mentioned in chapter 19.
从那一天开始呢
Since that day,
保罗就成了亚细亚犹太人的眼中钉、肉中刺了。
So this made Paul a thorn in the flesh of the Jews in Asia.
圣经说他们一看见保罗在殿里就耸动了众人下手拿他。
The Bible says, once they were seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him.
我心里边有的时候为保罗觉得不值，凭什么呀
？Sometimes we just feel it's just not worthy. Why did they do that to Paul?
因为从银匠迪米丢事件来看呢
？Judging from the incident of the silversmith Demetrius,
其实这群亚细亚的犹太人是没有道理的。
Actually, and the Jews were actually unreasonable.
保罗只是说了一句话。
Paul only said one sentence.
人手所做的不是神，错了吗
？God's made with hands are not God's.
而且他说这是你们所看见、所听见的。
That's what you heard and what you saw.
保罗在拆偶像啊。
Paul is just kind of demolished those idols.
保罗在强调旧约圣经，以至于整个犹太教所共同认知的一个核心价值观。就是敬拜独一真神，不可以拜偶像。
So Paul was just emphasizing that he only worshipped the one true God.
怎么这群犹太人因为银匠的生意影响了，他就来对付 保罗呢，这不合理的。
However, for the Jews, that just because the silversmith's business has been just stirred up, and so they just came to go against Paul.
其次是情绪失控的合成人。
Secondly, the whole city was out of control.
就是说合成的人都情绪失控啊。
Meaning, the whole city, all of them, their emotions were just out of control.
这是一件非常遗憾的事情。
It's just very pitiful.
人在情绪中通常是没有能力分辨出自己的盲点与错谬的。
People are often unable to identify their own blind spots and errors in their emotions.
我们知道保罗在宣教旅程中，特别是在早期的阶段呢。
During Paul's mission journey and especially in the early stages.
他仍然还是按照遵循这个罗马书一章十六节所说的福音本是神的大能，要救一切相信的，先是犹太人，后是希利尼人，这个原则先到犹太会堂去传道的。
So Paul just followed the principle in just the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16 to share the gospel to the Jew first, then a Gentile. So he went to the synagogue to preach.
那保罗是一个上通天文下达地理，是一个前无古人后无来者的一个学者，相当了不起的。
So Paul is a scholar, and he just full of the, all of those knowledges.
讲起道来，他是引经据典，犹太人是被他驳得是哑口无言的。
So when he just preach and also debate, and he's so just very good at just debating, and the people became the speechless.
犹太人的心里边早就已经对他不爽了。
So the Jews were already unhappy about him.
再加上保罗在与犹太人的辩论过程当中，还常常占上风。
In addition, Paul often had the upper hand in arguments with the Jews.
那当然，引得犹太人是妒火中烧，难以释怀，以致情绪失控，对吧
？Which made the Jews jealous, difficult to let go, and even out of control.
他们想发火，却又不好意思提银匠迪米丢的事情。
They wanted to get angry, but they were just too embarrassed to mention the silversmith.
因为如果有人问起这个事，他们不知道他反对迪米丢，反对我们拜偶像，他自己就站立不住了嘛。
Because if people just ask him, they just cannot stand firmly.
丢脸了怎么办呢
？So it's kind of embarrassing. What can they do?
一眼望去，他们认出以弗所的人有一个叫特罗菲摩跟保罗在一起。
At a glance, they just recognized that Trophimus, the Ephesians, and Paul together.
既然对保罗已经有偏见了
，since they have a prejudice about Paul,
他们便认定保罗带这个希利尼人进了圣殿，污秽了这圣地啊。
Therefore, they concluded that Paul had brought Greeks into the temples to defile the holy place.
单凭这一点就足以引发搅动一场大风波了。
Just by this conclusion, it is enough to stir up the big storm.
今天的这些假新闻，今天的这些在网络当中的造谣者，不也是在做同样的事情吗
？Today, those false news and also people spread their rumors, they did the same thing.
我们仿佛已经进入一个后真相时代了。
Seems like we already just entered to the situation of the post-fact.
其实日光之下无新事，两千年前的人已经开始这么做了。
There's nothing new under the sun. 2,000 years ago, this already happened.
好，最后是坦然面对，随遇而安呐。
Finally, face the situation calmly and accept it as it comes.
圣经说何城都震动，整个城的人都震动。
The Bible says that all the city was stirred up.
百姓一起跑来，拿住保罗，拉他出殿，殿门就立即关了。
And the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple.And at once, the gates were shut.
我读到这个经文，有些好奇，怎么犹太人反应那么敏捷，那么快，那么激动呢
？So when I read this verse, why did the Jews react so strongly and quickly?
我查了一些资料，我想有一个原因，可能我必须要讲一讲。
I just do some research on the information, and I just want to share with you this.
就是当时的罗马律法，罗马法律是非常尊重犹太人的宗教自由的。
So one reason is that the Roman law at the time even protected the religious rights of the Jews.
一般情况下，犹太人是没有决定人生死的权利的。
So and just common, the Jews has no right to determine people's life or death.
但是有一种情况是例外，犹太人自己可以决定人的生死的。
However, there's one exception. The Jews can determine the life and death.
就是说，如果有人带一个外邦人进入了圣殿，那两个人都要被打死的。
And that is, if anyone just brought a Gentile into the temple, they will be just beaten to death.
我们知道圣殿当中有一个外邦人与犹太人之间中间隔断的那个墙，在以弗所书提到这个，对吧
？Especially it mentioned in the book of Ephesians and talking about through the middle wall that the separated Gentile and the Jews.
只要你穿越这个墙，你就要被打死。
If you go through this middle wall, you will be put to death.
那么保罗带领四个希腊人，来行皈依犹太教的洁净礼呢
？So when Paul just led the four Greeks to perform the purification ceremony of the converting to the Judaism.
这是当时来讲一个常态的行为，不应该被打死的。
It's a normal just action and shouldn't be just beaten to death.
但是他们因为对保罗的偏见，所以就如此这般去诬陷保罗了。
However, because of their just a prejudice, they were just implicable and framed.
如此这般莫名其妙的诬陷，不得不说犹太人是自己的悲剧了。
With this kind of saying, and it's just that it was just really a tragedy of the Jews themselves.
当时这件事是群情激昂啊。
During that time, and all the people, they were just so emotional.
反倒我们看见保罗在整个过程当中都比较安静啊。
On the contrary, we see that Paul was relatively quiet, just very quiet throughout the whole process.
圣经记载他被拿住挨打，没反抗啊。
So he did not resist, escape, or just be afraid, even when they just being held and beaten.
人们要抓住他，他不逃跑哎。
And he did not escape, even people want to beat him.
而且他心里边毫无害怕。
He has no fear.
好像说要来到的就让他来吧。
Seems like in his mindset, he said, "If it comes, just let it be."
如此坦荡和安静的生命，真的是值得我们去学习的。
So this kind of life, just being so calm, that's what we need to learn.
当人面对生死的选择关头的时候，是否还能安静的下来呢
？Of course, when we face the life and death issue, are we able just to calm down?
好，我们来看第三点。
Let's look at the third point.
时候的满足啊。
Fullness of time.
我们知道，当人遇到苦难的时候，最喜欢问什么？问为什么，对吧
？So we know that when we people face encounter suffering, and we always ask why.
我们知道没有答案的。
And we know there's no answer for why.
但是我们也不妨尝试按照我们大家所熟悉的惯性去问一下保罗遭此难的缘由是什么呢？
At the same time, we can just based on our habit, we can also try to ask them what is the reason for Paul's suffering.
我们可能甚至铁定不会在逻辑上找到任何原因了。
We may not be able to find a reason logically.
但却可以从圣经中看见时候满足的痕迹了。
But we can see the fullness of time from the Bible.
首先是千夫长止住殴打。
First, the tribune stopped the beating.
没错，主的使徒为主殉道，被人殴打，在所难免。
It's true, the Lord's apostles were just martyred for the Lord.
但是如果主的时候没有满足，谁都不能动凡属主的人。
However, if the Lord's time is not fulfilled, no one can touch God's people.
即使是你要殴打保罗，神也不允许。
Even if someone wants to beat Paul, God would not allow it.
正当这场合成的震动当中，犹太人要杀保罗的时候呢
？During this tremor in the city, when the Jews were about to kill Paul,
圣灵就感动有人去向千夫长去报告了。
The Holy Spirit inspired someone to report to the tribune.
圣经说他们见了千夫长和兵丁，就止住不打保罗了。
The Bible says when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul.
因为千夫长是代表罗马政府的嘛。
Because the tribune, he just represents the Roman government.
比当时这些犹太人有一个更高的一个治理的权柄了。
He has a higher authority than the Jews.
但是群众的情绪还是非常激动的。
However, the mood of the crowd was still just agitated.
当时充满了吵嚷声。
During the time, it is full of those noise.
所以千夫长想了解事情的缘由吧，也没有办法了解清楚。
Therefore, and the tribune just could not find the reason for this incident.
于是呢，为了满足圣经的预言呢
，Therefore, in order to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible,
神就让千夫长 吩咐有两条铁链捆锁保罗。
Therefore, God just let the tribune order him to be bound with two chains.
大家记得前面几篇道吧？
Just to remember the previous sermons.
呀，保罗从马其顿回来，一路回来就有教会的弟兄姐妹跟他说：“去到耶路撒冷，被捆锁哦。”
So during the time when Paul just came back from Macedonia, and people just warned him that he may just experience those kind of situation in Jerusalem.
你要被捆锁哟。
You will be chained.
你要被捆锁。
You will be chained.
呀，这个预言就一直伴随着保罗的宣教旅程归途的路上。
So they just prophesied about this and just keep on going in this journey.
一路上，圣灵借着不同的人警告保罗将要受到捆锁。
So on the way back, and the Holy Spirit just through different people just remind him that he will be chained.
所以看到没有，保罗在路途上接到警告，你要受捆锁。
So on a journey, and Paul already were warned about this.
回到耶路撒冷，哎，真被捆锁。
When he returned to Jerusalem, it did happen.
我猜想保罗这个时候是心里边对神发出赞美的。
I think at this moment, Paul just gave his praise to the Lord.
哇哦，神你真是伟大，信实啊！
How great thou art!
何等伟大！
You're just so great.
你说我将要被捆锁，就真的被捆锁了。
And you said I'll be bound.
所以我了解保罗为什么心里边不害怕，他知道神的手在那掌管啊。
Therefore, I believe Paul is not afraid because he knows that God is in control.
亲爱的弟兄姐妹
，Dear brothers and sisters，
请问你在乎的是你身体上受到的亏损、受到的苦难，还是上帝的手在你生命当中的掌管呢？
So, do you care about the loss in your life, or do you care about God's sovereignty?
好，其次是求得一个说话权了。
Secondly, seek a right to speak.
直到保罗被押到营楼里边去的时候呢
？Just when just Paul was taken to the bracket.
千夫长与保罗才有机会说上话呀。
And then he's able, just the tribune can just talk to him.
那千夫长当然是按照常规去问保罗：“你是谁呀、啊？你啊，你什么人呐、啊？”
So the tribune just asked Paul as usual, "Just who are you?"
你到底做了什么事儿？怎么会跟这些人如此这般的仇恨来对你呢
？So what did you do, and why those people just treat you like this?
你们之间到底有怎样的深仇大恨呢
？Is there any deep grudge between you?
呀，保罗面对这位千夫长啊。
So Paul faced the tribune.
听见他结结巴巴的希伯来语，就知道他不是犹太人了。
And heard his stammering Hebrew and knew that he was not a Jew.
所以就想用一个比较容易沟通的语言来跟他谈话呀。
Therefore, Paul used the easier conversation to ask the tribune.
就问他说：“你会说希腊话吗
？”So Paul asked him, "Can you speak Greek?"
呀，保千夫长一听
，When the tribune heard it.
发现保罗的希腊文十分优美了得呀。
He found that the Paul's Greek was very beautiful.
呀，因为保罗的希腊文的功底是非常深厚的。
Because Paul has a great, just a solid foundation in Greek.
千夫长听到他讲的这么优雅的，希腊文呢
？So when the tribune heard the beautiful Greek that is spoken by Paul,
就想起大约在三年前有一个来自埃及的假先知，也是说了一口非常标准优雅的。希腊文啊、
It just reminds him that about 3 years ago, there's a false prophet.
他就将许多犹太人聚集在橄榄山上。
He just gathered on the mount of the olives and over there.
甚至呢，准备攻占耶路撒冷。
Also, he was just preparing to just capture the Jerusalem.
呀，当然最后是被镇压下去了。
At the end, and he was defeated.
呀，这就是保罗求千夫长给他一个对百姓解释的机会，一个说话的权利。
So this is what Paul just asked the tribune to give him the chance to explain to the people and the right to speak.
好，最后原来是为了见证啊。
Finally, it just turned out to be a testimony.
那么到底保罗想说些什么呢
？So what does Paul want to say?
圣经记载今天经文的最后一句话。
This is the last the verse the Bible records.
保罗说：“我本是犹太人，生在基利家的大树，并不是无名小城的人。求你准我对百姓说话。”
Paul replied, "I'm a Jew from the Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people."
呀，经文讲到这里，我相信大家都应该明白了，对吧
？At this point in the scripture, I believe everyone should understand, right?
原来为主做见证是保罗生命的目标啊。
That witnessing for the Lord is the goal of Paul's life.
他信主这十来年的过程当中，也应该也快二十年了，十来二十年的过程当中，他一直没有一个机会跟耶路撒冷的犹太人和亚细亚回来的犹太人去交代一下他自己信主的缘由啊。
So for the past two decades, Paul did not have the opportunity just to share about the reason why we believe in the Lord for the, to the people, the Jews in Jerusalem.
圣灵与保罗的心同证，他是属神的人啊。
The Holy Spirit testified with Paul's heart that he was a man of God.
他要说出他与主关系的缘由。
He wanted to tell the reason for his relationship with the Lord.
他为什么从过去是逼迫门徒到现在传扬主道的人呢？
Why did he just go from the persecuting the disciples to becoming a preacher of the Lord?
这其中到底保罗经历了些什么呢？
What exactly did Paul go through?
他的心路历程到底发生了些什么呢？
What happened in his spiritual journey?
那么你呢，弟兄姐妹？
What about you, brothers and sisters?
如果有一天你有这样得到这样的机会，
If one day you have this chance,
神让你分享出你自己得救的缘由，你能说什么呢？
If God just let you have the opportunity to share about your salvation, what would you share?
当然，为主做见证是要冒风险、付代价的。
Of course, bearing witness for the Lord involves taking risk and paying
the price. 可能会付上生命的代价，会死的。
You may need to pay the price to die.
耶稣也讲得很清楚，你们在世上有苦难。
Jesus also made it very clear that you will have a suffering in the world.
只是主说他已经胜了这个世界。
However, the Lord said that he has overcome this world.
我们将要得到的国不在这个世上，在天家。
The kingdom we're going to receive is not here in the world, it's in heaven.
你呢，亲爱的弟兄姐妹？
What about you, brothers and sisters?
你心中的期盼是这个世界所给你的一切吗？
What is your hope, your expectation? Is it this world?
还是天父将要赐给我们的永远的家园呢？
Or the eternal heavenly home?
好，感谢主。
Praise the Lord.
我们信了主的生命。
So the life that we believe in the Lord.
正是为了一个又一个的现今的机会啊。
It is just for one, just a present opportunity, one after another one.
目的只有一个，为要传扬主的福音。
There's only one purpose to spread the gospel.
保罗传福音的方法就是用生命影响生命。
So the method for Paul to preach the gospel was to use his life to influence lives.
讲述自己与主的关系。
And also to tell the experience of his relation with the Lord.
与主生命共同的经历。
And also together, this experience with the Lord.
请问你是否愿意效法保罗，如同保罗效法主呢？
Are you willing to imitate Paul as Paul imitated the Lord?
我们一起祷告。
Let us pray.
天父上帝，感谢赞美你。
Heavenly Father, we thank you and appreciate you.
你让我们看见一篇美好的信息。
You just give us the wonderful message.
你让我们听见从天上来的声音。
You just let us hear the voices from heaven.
看见保罗在宣教旅程当中带给我们美好的见证。
And you just let us see the great testimony just from Paul's mission journey.
也带出了这2000多年来这教会的初形由此产生啊。
And also for the 2000 years and the form of this the church.
只是我们很多人可能已经忘记了起初的爱了。
Maybe a lot of us, we just forgot the beginning love.
我们甚至也忘记自己身份的尊贵。
And we may just forgot this how noble is our status.
这尊贵是这世界夺不走的。
And this position and the world cannot just take it.
因为在尘土之中，岂可夺走永生的福分呢？
Because in the dust, how can it just take away this kind of blessing?
求主帮助我们轻看这个世界。
May God just help us just look lightly about this world.
也能够胜过今天所遭遇的自战自清的苦楚。
It also helps us just to overcome this temporary just the tribulation.
有主同在，好得无比。
We have God's presence and it's great.
感谢祷告奉耶稣基督得胜的名求。
We pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.